om nom le di le, hi om nom le yao, nom le di le yao, le di le di le di 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 di, he aho kahe, le di le di le di 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 di. I see a white horse, an angel standing, goddess standing in the lotus sky, red as a dragon's eye, but light like a feather. And way across the horizon, deep in the hills, thunder is coming, echoing valley. An elven king, gentle, his master moves in robes of wind. And the poet on your breath, sweeter than peaches, bitter as grandfather time, may slip past you in a rhythm and shadow, but is received between the lines. Liddy, 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 hey, I hook ahead. Liddy, 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 ring them bells, child. Ring them bells, child. Ooh. Ring them bells, child. Ring them bells, child. Because there's no place like home. No place like home.
Tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 101.1 FM, www.freakradio.org. I'm Robert Norris, and we've got 2 hours of Bathrob Spears Broadsides coming up. That's the June 24th, 2010 show, and that is indeed the day. Today is Thursday. I have a couple of guests who may be slipping into the studio. Elizabeth on guitar, Crow with a couple of announcements, updates, and complaints. And we may get a call from a Ben Lomond worker who was hassled by the California Highway Patrol and had to do anger management classes, and will express her anger about those classes, hopefully well managed, at 6:30. I don't know if she's actually going to call in. We'll see if she does or not. It was a possibility. The main subject that I'll be doing, aside from street interviews, is going to be kind of local updates and the what I call the Heil Krohn case, or what is better described as city council repression gets its comeuppance. The questioning of attorneys at the Ninth Circuit en banc 11-person panel down in Pasadena 2 days ago, which I think I may play some of on the air, because it's not just legalistic and technical and dry, but it also kind of kicks the city attorney in the balls, kind of. And it isn't our attorneys, as say my attorneys, the two attorneys who volunteered and have been working on this case for 8 years for me, David Beauvais and Kate Wells, but it's the actual 11 judges who are also attorneys on the Federal Court of Appeals who are asking the hard questions of this incredibly absurd case presented by City Attorney George Kovacevich on behalf of John Barisone and the Santa Cruz City Council. And that case, again, as many of you may know who follows the show regularly, concerns my arrest way back in March of 2002 at City Council, when then Mayor Christopher Krohn essentially broke his word to the community by cutting short oral communications, and doing so in a rather militant and repressive manner, threatening to arrest people who didn't step away from the mic. It's an interesting situation that it has never been really fully discussed in terms of the context, and we're still waiting to get a trial. I was arrested for raising my arm in a "don't act like a bunch of fascists" salute briefly, which I did after Krohn threatened to have had one person removed from the chamber, threatened to have a second woman removed, And then went on with the meeting as though blithely as though nothing had happened. I didn't say anything. I just made a brief, don't act like a bunch of Nazis, salute. I was told by one member of the council, Fitzmaurice, who had been ragging on me throughout the last year to be more decorous at city council, you know, not use words like Führer and flunky and be nicer to the city council. He insisted that I leave the chamber because I'd made a Nazi salute. Well, Nazi salute is protected free speech, which seemed to be the opinion of almost everybody on the court, although they didn't explicitly state it on Tuesday, but that was seems to me to be the gist of the questioning. You can make up your own mind. It's actually online. If you Google for Ninth Circuit, or actually Norse Nazi salute and Ninth Circuit audio, you'll find the entire hour and 10 minutes worth of the whole thing, which I'm going to play, I think, some selections from later in the show. There was also a so-so story by Sentinel writer J.M. Brown on the issue, which I thought I brought along, but it may have disappeared in transit. The Sentinel covered a number of things in yesterday's edition, which I found kind of grim, but also interesting, specifically the new three snoozes or three sits and you get a misdemeanor citation law that is passed. Actually, that was the law that was passed a year and a half ago. The new law is any subsequent infraction after three unattended infractions. If you get three tickets for anything whatsoever, three trivial tickets, and for some reason you fail to pay or fail to appear, every subsequent infraction of any kind can be charged as a misdemeanor either by the police or by the city attorney, which means you can be subject to a jail sentence of up to a year in jail and a $1,000 fine, which is quite a punch in the chops for poor and homeless people. It's interesting, people at city council were commenting on this, like Don Lane and I think Cynthia Matthews, that at one point had the temerity to suggest that this really didn't impact homeless people that much. In effect, it's my belief, although I don't have any statistics because the police did not provide any, at least not in the staff report, that the majority of these kinds of infractions are written for people who are in transit, homeless, who have no address. They are tickets that criminalize poor people that merchants don't want downtown, except under the most controlled and staid conditions. So, in fact, the false and I would call it malicious is a little strong because I don't think the city council gives a shit. But let's say rather tending to a malicious interpretation, if you believe that you're passing laws that equally affect poor and rich people and are a common standard of behavior and is really about public safety, then the community is more likely to swallow this kind of nonsense than if you say, we want to get these fucking bums out of town. We don't want these homeless people and the people with the, you know, the earrings and the nose rings and the tattoos and the black goth clothing and, you know, and people of color hanging around downtown. The gangs, they're all gang people anyway, right? They must be. Anyway, this kind of analysis, which they don't want to make explicitly because it's unconstitutional to do this, and also it offends the dignity of our community, to use a phrase that the man who had me arrested used at city council referring to my salute of his mayor. That was Tim Fitzmaurice, who said I had offended the dignity of the body. I think the actions of the city council offends the dignity both of their body and of the community, and that's the reason I occasionally do make a strong comment, not in such a way as to disrupt the meeting, so that might be a good idea in some of these situations, but simply to let the council know that someone is watching and is not prepared to roll over and play dead because they can call a cop and file a charge that they later drop and give you a lot of difficulty kind of along the road and intimidate you, which is what the city council has done on numerous occasions to me and others in the last two decades, who are trying to raise, and this is really the issue that finally got in the media, homeless issues. The question of whether it should be legal for people to sleep, not anywhere and everywhere, but somewhere in Santa Cruz, as it is in Los Angeles, as it is in San Diego, as it is in Laguna Beach, as it is in Richmond. The laws there have all been changed because the city councils there wisely or prudently decided they didn't want to risk lots of lawsuits and spend a lot of money. Here in Santa Cruz, apparently they like to dump money into the city attorney's pockets because they've already paid him $130,000 to defend an absurd set of decorum rules at city council and sort of the offended pride and dignity of a couple of council members whose best response was to ignore what they didn't like and move on to continue their reign of insularity. You know, we don't have a lot of impact on them anyway, but they are so determined to be imperial in their sweep. They are so determined to extend the swath of their power. It reminds me a little of the national government and our Führer Obama over there in Afghanistan, that they will continue an absurd losing strategy that violates human rights simply because they have to show that they can. And they somehow start defending indefensible positions, which is what the city council is doing. And I'll be talking about this and playing some more of it. But in the studio with me, I have a guest who's been sitting patiently waiting. And we'll try to adjust her mic. She's got mic, too. This is Elizabeth. Hey, Elizabeth.
Hi. How are you?
Well, you can hear. I'm slowly chewing my gum and trying to get it together here on the air.
Yeah, right.
I should say that we are at 101.1 FM. You can call into the number at 427-3772, 427-FRSC. We do need, as far as I know, unless it's new news that has reached the station, I'm not sure of, a transmitter for the station. We are about to be dumped off the air, so of all you folks who like hearing us, you know, start scrounging around and looking for a place to put up a transmitter in the Santa Cruz area that's relatively high up. It doesn't have to be really high up. Actually, it can be on the east side or the west side. It can't be downtown.
Okay.
And this does involve a certain amount of risk because the FCC doesn't like our station. We are illegal, have been for 15 years.
Oh, okay. Pirate radio, yes.
We are pirate radio.
All right.
It's true. And so, you know, we subsist on understanding the community that it's really the pirates, the political pirates, who have hijacked the American democracy for decades, and the rest of us that are trying to reclaim it. So we're not really the pirates. They're the pirates. But, you know, I guess it's kind of romantic to consider ourselves pirates, matey. So we're the pirates.
I like it.
Yeah, so here she is. She's my pirate Maul is in the studio here.
Got a parrot on my shoulder.
She's got a parrot and a cool tattoo. And,
yeah.
She's ready to boogie here. So
see?
You can call in 427-3772. You can call in off air 423-HUFF. That's another number, 423-4833, if you want to talk to me off air. And the show does stream at freakradio.org and archives at huffsantacruz.org. Having said all that, I will now get back to you, madam.
Okay.
How's it going? I ran into you at the drum circle the other week. And then the other day.
Yesterday, and then the week before that.
And you got a guitar in hand, or you have a guitar in hand now, and you claim to know some tunes you're going to be strumming for us. What's the idea?
Well, I am a singer-songwriter from Chicago, and I was homeless on the streets of Chicago for a while. And so I'm definitely all for the rights of the homeless, and I think that... you know, who could be more vulnerable than the homeless, honestly? Who is more vulnerable than the homeless in our society? And if we're not fighting for them, who are we fighting for? I mean, honestly, because it's such a horrible place to be. And I've been homeless alone, as a woman alone. What a scary place to be.
Well,
you
most
know?
People are fighting, you know, to pay the next month's rent or keep their job or feed their family. They're not fighting the homeless. I mean, that's another, you know, they can't really worry about that because that's, you know.
Well, they're so scared that they could end up in that position that they didn't want to think about it. But
that could be. I mean, I've heard that argument often made. It's become kind of a cliche, so I don't know if I agree with it or not. But I do feel, you know, that it can be chilling to see people on the streets, and, you know, you may not want to see that. And so that could be a factor, people saying, well, let's clean up. But I think a lot of the factor is also merchants think it detracts from their business. They are afraid that, you know, it will be considered a skid row area or, you know, also gatherings of young people that get a little rowdy. That kind of upsets downtown merchants as well. So I think a lot of the impetus behind the recent spate of bad anti-homeless laws this year and last year has been the Downtown Association and various other misguided residential associations that somehow feel that by making it criminal to take a crap, you're going to stop people from taking a crap.
Right.
You don't
want
to do something like put in bathrooms. That would only encourage more people to come and take a crap because you have such great crappers. But rather, if you tell them there's a jail sentence for taking a shit, that's going to really do the trick. I mean, this kind of mentality is similar to the let's spend $130,000 getting rid of the guy with the who's doing the Nazi salute because he doesn't like us at city council once for 3 seconds,
mm-hmm.
or maybe even three or four times.
Right. They'll spend the money if that's what their priorities are. I don't know. But
so how long have you been in Santa Cruz, Elizabeth?
Well, I am originally from Chicago. I moved to Oregon. I was there for almost 5 years. And I just went home to Chicago for a little while, and now I'm here in Santa Cruz. I've only been here for a couple months, and I am really just trying to kind of get a demo together and start doing my music.
Are you outside or are you inside?
What do you mean?
Are you sleep on the streets illegally?
Right now I'm sleeping in a friend's house, actually, which is really nice, you know. I mean, I'm very, very blessed to have that because I could easily be sleeping outside, and I really don't enjoy sleeping outside, you know. Even if it's with a group of people, I still feel unsafe, so it's just...
So what... what have you got for us today on the musical front?
Well, I have a lot of tunes. One of my favorite tunes is a song back when I was in Chicago. I was in a relationship with a man who was fairly wealthy and very proud of his wealth, and I was thinking about marrying him, but something strange happened. One night, I was really honest with him, and I had no money. I was working at a library making $5 an hour, and so I asked him, do you think you could help me get some groceries? Do you think you could help me? And the man said, no. this very wealthy man. No.
He wanted to marry you, but he wanted you to buy your own groceries.
Exactly.
Well, that sounds like my approach.
And I thought to myself, red flag. So anyway, that relationship obviously went... But it really made me think a lot about... wealthy, poor people. And I had never thought about these things because I was raised in a fairly wealthy family. So I hadn't thought about these things. Like, could wealthy people, and I don't want to generalize, but, you know, a lot of wealthy people,
paranoid skinflints?
There's a lot of...
Well, speaking as a paranoid skinflint, I would say not wealthy, but well-to-do, perhaps. I mean, not having any problems. You know, I get paranoid when I see people asking for money on the street. You saw me put off poor old Crow and his 30-cent panhandling request on the way over to the studio, although he did eventually get his money, I must say. By the way, Crow will be back with some announcements of his adventures at New Leaf Market, getting harassed for putting, I don't know, what was it, Parmesan cheese on his...
Some kind of a salad, I don't know.
Salad that he brought in, standard problems.
The police made sure that he was reprimanded for putting Parmesan on his...
Or whatever it was, yeah. Now, you have a guitar there. It looks like a nice guitar.
Yeah, it's a decent guitar.
And you're about to sing.
And I am about to sing. And I'm going to sing a song. This is the song. It's just kind of like about some of the things I thought about after breaking up with this man. And... song's called Forlorn, and the funny thing is his name was Lorne, so Forlorn, and there's a double, obviously double meaning there, so, all right. His hands are clean, bleach stained and dry. Blame lies with me, and I'm asking why did it all have to end in that way? Why so much pain, so much blood and heartache? Blame lies with me. I am guilty, guilty, guilty as charged, but I'm still loving large. 'Cause my love is large, it's larger than life, and I will be more than a man's trophy wife. His hands are clean, they're bleached, stained, and dry. Blame lies with me, I'm asking. Why do we privatize resources in this world? Why did I play the role of a starving girl? Why do we claim that it's our land and our oil? It belongs to them with their blood, sweat, and toil. And I do not earn six figures like you do. That does not mean that I deserve any less than you. Less freedom, less choice, less resources. I deserve what you deserve, and that's love and forgiveness. Oh, I was forlorn, twisted and torn. Inspected, rejected, I sat to mourn. I was forlorn for him, not for me. But I chose myself, and I set myself free. I set myself free. Okay, so that's one song, yeah.
And before we go on to the second song, a quick announcement for those who want to go. At 6:30 tonight, according to Indie Media, which is a good place to go, indiebay.org/Santa Cruz, if you want to read my stories about my commentary on recent city council actions, court cases around homeless civil rights. Again, indiebay.org/Santa Cruz. There is an announcement of a forum tonight, Demystifying Anarchy, and that's 6:30 in about 10 minutes at Loudon Nelson Center, room 3. Loudon Nelson Center is at Center and Laurel Streets, in case you don't know where that is. Again, Demystifying Anarchy, and it's described in the following manner. We invite you to come find out for yourself. Come hear self-identified anarchists speak about why they call themselves anarchists, what anarchy means to them, and how they see the world. There will be a time for questions and discussion. And again, that's going to be in room 3, Loudon Nelson Center, in about 9 minutes. I presume you can go in late. And also, it's free, although they encourage you to kick down some cash so you can help them pay for the room. And another thing that's happening tonight, a little further away, and about 40 minutes from now, is the Americans for Safe Access meeting. That's the group that meets in different cities, but they're trying to form a chapter here. They want to make it legal for people to smoke medical marijuana. Ah, you thought it was legal? Well, if you're wealthy enough and you have a card, you have a doctor's recommendation, and the police don't want to mess with you, yeah, maybe, provided the current marijuana tax and regulate initiative doesn't change all that, because it does make some changes in Proposition 215, in the sense it's a more recent proposition, and in the sense that it allows the legislature to make additional changes after it passes. We've talked about this, and I'm kind of worried about it. But you might want to go at 7 o'clock to 140 Du Bois Street on Suite A. It's right next to the Greenway Cannabis Dispensary. Yeah, that's something like that. It's one of the two clubs that have a monopoly on selling medical cannabis in our community, and that's out in Harvey West. And again, 7 to 9, Americans for Safe Access. They're trying to start a chapter. We had a report from Craig Canada on Sunday, to some extent, about the issue, or maybe it was last Thursday, I guess, because I wasn't here on Sunday. I was down south. And we've also heard from Roger Mensch, who's an activist with marijuana medical, the struggle to legalize it. And also, he was a person who ran a dispensary, the Hemporium, up in Felton. And it has repeatedly been smashed by the police, and it's now no longer operational. And that's happening really all over the state. You're getting more and more restrictive rules around medical marijuana dispensaries, including Santa Cruz, which passed an emergency measure. You know, it's such an emergency to have marijuana around, that would make it illegal to have any more medical marijuana dispensaries than the two current ones that exist, because, you know, we don't want no stinking drug peddlers in our town. Oh, wait, we have got pharmacies and bars. Well, they're a little different, you know. Anyway, 7 o'clock, check it out, 140 Du Bois Street, Suite 2, Americans for Safe Access, 6:30 tonight, the Loudon Nelson Center, Room 3, Demystifying Anarchy. A couple other things coming up are the Street Performers Guild. This might interest you, Elizabeth.
Huh.
I don't know if you're much of a street performer as well as just a performer. Mm-hmm. Performer. Mm-hmm. You're nodding.
Yes, I am.
Yes,
I am.
Yes,
definitely.
As the,
yes.
As the judge says, speak into the mic. Speak into the mic.
Yes.
I did it here.
Chicago, mm-hmm. which is, actually you can make a lot more money there. It's better in some ways, but it's also, you know, it's cold. And
how have things gone on the streets here, by the way? Have you done any performing?
Yeah, I've done some. I did some on the wharf. I've done some on the streets. You know, I definitely have performed at the little drum circle. I like it a lot.
No hassles?
No hassles. I've had nothing but cooperation, like, from other artists. It's really, Santa Cruz is a great place. I really don't have that much negative to say about it. Sure, when I'm here for a long time, I'm sure I'll have something, but I love Santa Cruz, and I do see it. I mean, I'm living sort of in Oregon too. I see it as a second home, and I always, you know, when I came here for the first time, I was like, this is a great place. Thumbs up.
Well, I think you got another song you want to play, right? You're looking.
Sure.
Your fingers are beginning to itch.
If you want to hear another song, it's this song I wrote. This is it's called Drug Addict, and I've struggled with my own addictions.
And what are you addicted to?
Not like heroin or anything like that, but I was prescribed Ativan, which is just an anti-anxiety, but I became very addicted to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I still have to take it, but there was a point where I was really abusing it. So, but I think, you know, I'm using this term in a very universal sense. Like, we're all drug addicts. Caffeine, nicotine, like, everybody has their addiction, but it can be taken literally, too. I'm just drug addict, but it's more about human beings and their good and dark, good and bad, dark and light. We're all kind of human beings. So.
Go for it.
I am just a drug addict. You know why? I'm a little girl. I am alone, walking through this world. And look at you standing underneath that steeple, and you're talking to all those people, telling them that druggies are bad, pointing your finger of blame, not talking about your own shame. Look at you, look at me. We are exactly the same. And we're just a bunch of dirty drug addicts, doing our dirty, 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 dirty drugs. Just a bunch of street thugs. We are kings, and we are queens, and we are human beings. And I am a king, and I am a queen. I am holy, holy. I am obscene, oh, and I can laugh it off, ha, 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 or I can keep it all in, ooh, yeah, we're just a bunch of drug addicts doing all our dirty, 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 dirty drugs. Just a bunch of street thugs. Just a bunch of street thugs. And we are kings. And we are queens. You are beautiful, you. And I am beautiful, me. We are royalty. Kings and queens, we are just human. Human, human beings. All right. All right.
There you are. There we are.
There
that
we
was
are.
Drug Addict by Elizabeth. You want to give your last name?
Hand, of course. H-A-N-D. Find me on Facebook. Elizabeth Gorman Hand, H-A-N-D.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Ms. Hand.
Yes, so.
So, you know what I'm going to do now is I'm mm-hmm. going to play a little street interviewing activity.
All right.
This actually is sort of a little filler while I set up the, what I call the Heil-Krone tape. Heil-Krone, Krone was the mayor. The case had to do with the false arrest I talked about earlier at City Council for making a mock Nazi salute. And it's kind of, you know, it's hit the media. People around town are saying, hey, you're that guy in the newspaper. I say, yeah, well, yes, of course. You know, so I I gladly take tribute from people passing by as they touch my robe. It's an interesting issue, however. And really, the issue has to do, finally, with the stupidity, absurdity, and really arrogance of the city council's determination to continue essentially what is an increasingly closed process there.
Has it become more so? And when did it start to become more closed?
Well, you know, from the respect to poor people, I think it's always been that
way. It's always been that way.
But, you know, I think there was a period of time in the 80s when it was more open. You had a slight change from the conservatives to the so-called progressives. The current mayor's name is Mike Rotkin. I call him Riot Act Rotkin for other reasons, his behavior at city council. He's had me arrested.
How many times?
At least twice.
Wow.
But I've never been convicted of anything, so it's interesting. You know, I mean, they like to show their power and then, you know, you suffer going to jail or getting excluded. You suffer the charges, the tension, the pressure, the disinclination to come back if that's what's going to happen to you. And they don't suffer anything, and they get the increased prestige that comes from fear, creating a fearful sort of, you know, response in the rest of the community. Some people, of course, like the idea of bearded, older, or activists like myself, you know, who are intent on talking about the scum of the streets in a favorable way. Or at least in terms of their rights, not seeing them put down and shut up and locked out and put in their place, which might be no place. For example, at homeless tonight, have no place to sleep unless you're one of the very few people who's actually made it onto the waiting list of the Paul Lee Loft. And I'm not sure if there even is an ISSP program, Interfaith Satellite Shelter program, that goes to church floors anymore. There may be one or two vehicles.
Yeah, there's not enough. I know that even in Oregon, and Oregon is kind of a little bit better than, in some respects, than Santa Cruz with the homeless. They have homeless shelter there, but it's great that they have, you know, a big homeless shelter and everything, and it's great that they have all these promises. We're going to help you get back on your feet. The problem lies therein that, like, they see it as a game. It's a game to them. Like, don't cross this line or you'll get, like, you'll get evicted. Like, really crazy stuff. Like, or if you come in after 6 o'clock, you're automatically evicted. Well, what if your job, you got out of your job late? And that's, in Oregon, it's like that. But it's like that everywhere because, well, most of the time you have people who are control freaks, or, you know, And then fascism seems to be kind of in vogue right now. So you've got these people who are playing with other people's lives. And it's not funny. It's not a joke.
Hear, hear.
Yeah.
Well, let's hear a few of these interviews, and we can break it up with some more of your songs at some point, if you'd like. And I may get a call. It looks like that may not
happen.
From
that guy? Yeah.
From this, this woman up in Ben Lomond, who had these bad experiences with California Highway Patrol. Apparently, according to her account, her car was shoved off the road by a hit-and-run driver down an embankment 50 feet, and she tried to file a complaint. She herself, the police officer, was uncooperative, and she made some comment of as being a stupid asshole, and that resulted in her getting cited or arrested instead of the officer trying to address the issue of the car. Now, I wasn't present. She might have been completely off base, but I wanted her to have a chance to tell her story. She's particularly concerned and resentful of the anger management classes that she got sent to when she went to trial, that she had to pay extra money for these, and, you know, that it was an attempt, a complete inversion of the reality of the situation for her. But she's not calling in, and who knows what the actual situation is. So we'll wait for her, and we'll hear some real voices from the street, which you should feel free to comment on, Elizabeth, if you want.
Okay.
Or you're listening to Free Radio out there, 101.1 FM, freakradio.org. And the calling number, in case you want to comment, is 427-3772. I've turned the ringer on. The phone lines are open, in case you want to call in. And we'll take it from there.
And there's a number of a famous legalized marijuana T-shirt and a violinist. What's your name, violinist?
Lorna.
And Lorna, are you new on the streets or are you an old timer?
I'm very new. Today is my first day.
And how is the street treating you?
Well, I've made a little bit so far, about a dollar.
Are you donating half of it to the legalized cause?
Unfortunately, no. I would if I had the money, but I figure I could help bring in a little bit of business for him. So.
And has she been bringing in business?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Now, you're both a supporter of tax and regulate, or you supported the Jack Harar amendment, which didn't make it?
Well, I'm for anything that supports freedom of choice and liberty of various usage of passive drugs and herbs.
And your name is?
I'm Mark Anthony.
And Mark, you two are just good friends.
We just met, actually.
Yeah, we just met.
Strangers in the day.
She
does, doesn't she?
She chose to bring a wonderful inspiration to the atmosphere. So the only thing I could do is simply contribute and appreciate.
Or toke up, as the case may be.
Would you believe that I don't smoke?
You're just a supporter of the principle.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And so are you.
Yeah, I am.
All right, we'll play on. We'll give the audience a little taste of your performance.
Sure.
What are you playing, by the way? Your own composition or something else?
No, this is an etude based on the Bach Double B.
Okay.
Thank you. May I ask what this is for?
This is for Free Radio Santa Cruz. Well, we're back here chatting with Kerbugger Chris. And you say, Chris, that old CJ Stock, the one-time guitarist who hasn't been seen playing a guitar in some time, but who knows? Maybe he'll play again.
Well, he's been having a hard time. We know that anybody who lives out here has been going down really pretty badly downhill. And lately hasn't been leaving this one block area over here. Sort of this side street, and then he kind of wanders over to the back alley, but then back again. But it's about a one block area, and he's been gone from the streets down here for a couple of days since Saturday afternoon was the last time he was spotted. Anybody who sees him, we just like to know he's all right. He's got a lot of people worried about him. So anybody who spots him, give a call to Robert at the station, and he'll pass it along. Then we'll
423-4833 is the Huff Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom line.
And Chris actually has been sighted, so no worries. But there was some concern for a while there, at least. Kerbugger Chris was. Kerbugger Chris sells Street Spirit newspaper. He's often in front of the Gap on Pacific Avenue or across the street in front of Borders.
I'm pretty concerned with CJ is if we don't see him sitting on a certain park bench for the period of at least one day, then it's not voluntary. He's either in jail or the hospital or, you know, something terrible has happened to him. So in this case, if you could keep an eye out and give us a call.
Kerbugger Chris wants to know, and I'm a little curious where CJ Stock is if he hasn't turned up by the time of this. This is Monday, and of course this won't be played until Thursday, but today is Monday the 24th. There's Officer Forbes. Perhaps he has kidnapped C.J. Stark.
I'd be willing to bet that they might have some clue as to where he is. Because
we could flag them down.
Well, they've been cracking down ever since the mayor issued a sort of a caveat or whatever, an order or whatever, around Thursday or Friday that they were to begin reinforcing the downtown codes, as they call them.
Now, where did you hear that the mayor had issued this?
It was in the paper this week.
I didn't notice that. Interesting.
He said that two priorities are going to be crime. I guess gang-related crime.
Crapola.
Gang-related crime, supposedly, and enforcement of downtown codes was the exact words they used, which I assume by codes they don't mean health codes or building codes, probably homeless codes and, you know,
dog codes.
Busking codes.
Maybe not doggy codes.
No dog codes, because Becky was successful in getting them to actually equally enforce that for about a minute and a half, which of course, meant that several yuppies got tickets, which of course meant there was a hue and a cry, and then Chip said it was okay. I don't think the city council's actually
going to. Goes by one name of the downtown association.
He says it's okay,
the executive
to have dogs
director.
Down here. I don't know if the city council has gotten around to actually rubber stamping that into law yet, but in any case, there hasn't been a ticket written since the very day that Chip announced in the paper that it was cool, in his opinion.
Now, what are your plans to demolish the downtown now that all the windows have been replaced? What's next in your master plan?
Oh, well, look, the merchants should be really tickled. I mean, they got a brand new street and brand new windows. They're ready to go for summer, don't you think? They're ready to rape, pillage,
questionable, troublesome homeless types hanging about, like yourself, planted here in front of the Gap. What a place.
And I was told by the owner of the Gap that if it weren't for businesses like hers, there would be no people down here.
We're going to interrupt this questionable interchange with Kerbugger Chris. Actually, not questionable. I think it's quite appropriate, because on the phone with us is another questionable individual. Crow. Hey, Crow.
Hey, what's going on?
So I know that I thought you were right behind me as I headed for the studio, but apparently you found a phone somewhere.
Yeah, well, the problem was that your neighbors right there in the courtyard were giving me a hard time, so I left.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah,
I guess the other day when I came over to pick the plums that I've been picking for the past 17 years, one of the young ladies, didn't think it was appropriate for me to be molesting her plum tree.
Really? So you've gone from harassing the Parmesan cheese at New Leaf to plucking the plums at the secret location of the free radio studios. Well, you know, you're a criminal, my boy, and there's not much to be said for you, really.
Go straight to the police
today
station.
Today I got thrown out of New Leaf, and today I get thrown out of whatever the fuck that place is over there. You know, I don't know. You know, those kids come and go, and it's just like they don't know who I am or, you know, I don't even think they know what's going on down there in any basement in this world.
Well, who does? I myself wonder at times.
Well, me too, you know, but I find it most invigorating when you've got some basement talk that has a lot of common sense and a lot of action going on, like you've been doing for the past year since I've known you.
Well, you had some not just some experiences at New Leaf, which you wanted to talk about, but also a public service announcement you wanted to pass on, right?
Yes, this is a public service announcement. I want everybody out there in Radio Free Santa Cruz land to come down to Free concert over there at the Beach Boardwalk tomorrow and bring cowbells. Blue Oyster Cult's playing for you. Okay, but the reason why we're doing this cowbell run is that we're trying to raise funds for a charity drive for a family that's going to lose their business if they don't come up with money to save their Trop Aquarium that's located in the Safeway Shopping Square on Mission Street in the west side of Santa Cruz. So if anybody wants to help, they can call 831-854-8486. They're the people that own the shop.
Now, what are we trying to save? I didn't quite catch that. An aquarium? Is it an aquarium?
Yeah, they sell, little pets, like lizards and snakes.
Okay.
It's a retail establishment selling captive creatures, no doubt the next target of the animal rights activists.
Kids, they got off the streets, they cleaned themselves up, they stopped doing drugs, now they got their kids back with them. They're trying to make some money on and doing this shop, and now they're running hard times, but they still have their kids with them, and they're not on the street doing drugs.
Okay.
So I'm trying to help them out, and they're good kids, you know?
So again, the number for people to call, if I got it, is 854-8486. And this is the aquarium business in the Safeway. Whether they're about to be priced out because of the rent, or what's the deal?
It's called tropical. Well, it's because of hard times. I mean,
right. You
got to sell a lot of little fish to keep the store open. I mean, they have a beautiful shop. Don't get me wrong. They have beautiful. I when I was a kid, I had my own aquarium. I loved having beautiful tropical fish and lizards.
And folks can help in this situation by going to the Blue Oyster Cult concert tomorrow at the Boardwalk and bring what?
The gimmick, yeah.
What are they supposed to bring?
Cowbells.
What are cowbells?
You know those things?
Cowbells are these things that the cows used to wear around their necks.
You mean real cowbells?
Yes.
Who
they
in
use
the hell
them as
knows
instruments
where to find
now.
A cowbell?
No, they use them as instruments now.
Oh.
They do.
Oh, okay. Well, you have to go to your cowbell store, I suppose.
I have one.
Oh, well, you can talk to Elizabeth. She has a cowbell.
I have one.
Will she part with it is the
I don't
question.
Know.
So, I mean,
nice
how many
do
you expect, five or six people to show up with cowbells? No,
I expect 100,000 people to show up.
Okay.
You have
big you sound like Obama in Afghanistan, frankly.
No, doesn't it?
Yeah, you sure do. Although yours is a little less lethal.
It's a lot more benign. We bless you, but...
she does, anyway.
The reason why we're bringing up this whole cowbell incident with the Blue Oyster Cult is because there was a skit on Saturday Night Live.
With Will Ferrell
and Christopher Walken.
Christopher Walken.
Okay? And a couple of the band members of Blue Oyster Cult.
I'll play it for him.
Yeah. And... Christopher Hopkins kept on coming out of the sound booth saying, "I need more cowbells." And during the recording,
it's
pretty
funny.
Don't Fear the Reaper.
You would laugh.
Don't Fear the Potheads. That's what it was.
All right, so it's cowbells at the Blue Oyster Cult and help out the aquarium folks. And also, you've had some.
Just down there with Jugs saying, help, and there's a secret code. Just don't be giving anybody any money. It just says they're there to help collect money for,
It sounds a little difficult to, I'm not quite sure how I would advise someone to do this unless they saw you and they knew you personally and they trusted you. I mean, you panhandler guy, you.
Well, if people are asking you to help donate for this cause, there'll be a secret code. You can either call the number or find somebody else who's walking around with the donation cup. If the secret code doesn't match, because... if it doesn't match,
it's pretty obscure here. I'm not sure what the secret code is.
Well, if it doesn't match with each one of the persons that are one of the people is a fake. Okay, that's what we're trying to do here.
Well, Crow, frankly, my suggestion is tomorrow you might want to call in and try to announce the same thing if anybody will listen to this.
I want to announce it again on KPIG because I did it today. Announcement on KPIG.
Maybe it had a better reception because frankly I'm having trouble following it. But maybe others have because you stated it. We've given a number. This is happening, tomorrow evening at the Boardwalk?
Yes, tomorrow evening at the Boardwalk. There's two shows.
Right, okay. Look for somebody with a secret code. We don't know what it is. We don't know who they are, but...
So it's going to be told to them when they donate the money. That's all there is to it.
I don't know. Right. Yeah, okay. Well, we'll leave it at that, though. I don't think that's much to leave it at. Mm. But Crow,
I know.
Thank you.
But
for...
if you really want to help, just call the number and give them the money.
All right, so kick down money to the aquarium folks at 854-8486 if you want to save that particular business in Santa Cruz. We haven't asked them if they support the downtown ordinances or not, but that's
good. Donate the money to raise Free Santa Cruz. They could use the help.
All right, well, thanks, Crow.
Thanks, Crow.
Adios.
All right, guys.
And that was Crow. You might think, what am I allowing that on my show for? Because Crow is a man who actually has been a major supporter of homeless civil rights activity, and he's got a good heart. He's trying to do stuff, and I don't know whether this has much to do with general causes in the community, except he thinks that the Aquarian people are
important.
A legitimate group. So you may have another song for us, perhaps, or maybe not. I don't know what your story is.
I don't know. I might have. I have a lot of songs. I don't know.
Of social import that will immediately cause a revolutionary response. Okay. Go for it.
Well, actually, this song is more of a performance art piece. It's like I really enjoy doing it so people can see me, but it's still funny. It's called Social Anxiety. I took this article that's called The FDA Approves Paxil in the U.S. for Social Anxiety Disorder, and I just kind of put my own swing to it because I think it's really sad that people turn to drugs when they're feeling socially anxious. It's really, really sad. So I'll do the best I can with this. Okay?
Go for it.
All right. Social Anxiety. Affecting over 10 million Americans, social anxiety is the most common type of anxiety disorder and the third most common type of common psychiatric disorder. 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 The FDA approval of Paxil for the treatment of social anxiety disorder provides a much-needed addition to the physician's armamentarium against mental illness. Mental illness. Social anxiety. Why is everybody looking at me? Social anxiety. Why is everybody looking at me? Many patients treated with Paxil had a very clinically meaningful response to the medication, experiencing reduction in their anxiety and disability and improvement in their overall functioning. 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 Social anxiety. Why is everybody looking at me? Social anxiety. Why is everybody looking at me? Social anxiety disorder is not just shyness. Shyness may involve uncomfortable feelings and social situations, but social anxiety is a clinical diagnosis that is much more pervasive, distressing, and interferes with normal functioning. Normal. Social anxiety. Why is everybody looking at me? Social anxiety. Why is everybody looking at me? Social anxiety. Social anxiety. Why is everybody looking at me?
Why shouldn't everybody look at you?
Yes.
Here, here.
Here, here.
What's the name of that song again, Elizabeth?
Social Anxiety.
Social Anxiety.
I've had crippling social anxiety for many years, and that was probably, honestly, writing that song kind of freed me up.
Excellent.
Because it's just, you know, people say it's these pharmaceutical companies, I'm sure you quite understand, they put these little, you know, put you in a box.
Little
and
pills.
Yeah, little pills for your little problems.
Little boxes with little pills.
Yeah.
You're tuned to Free Radio 101.1 FM. In the studio with me is Elizabeth. This is Freak Radio until we get bounced off the air by the FCC's intimidation of landlords. And I'm about to play now a little something from Tuesday's Ninth Circuit Court chat with my two attorneys and with the city attorney, George Kovacevic, or the, should we say, one of the flunkies of the city attorney, or one of the employees, one of the city attorneys, one of the many attorneys employed by the city to defend this, the city's politicians, in this case, when they make bad choices and don't want to deal with them in a more straightforward manner. Again, the issue, for those of you who just tuned in, has to do with, and it's been in the media a bit, the mock Nazi salute made in March 2002 to a mayor after he essentially cut off two speakers, three actually, myself included, which wasn't actually in the video, and then essentially violating his promise to allow a certain amount of oral communications time. And then when I made a silent, fleeting Nazi salute to him, he didn't even notice it, but a council member to his left, Tim Fitzmaurice, did and stopped the meeting, disrupting the meeting. In fact, he's the guy who should be arrested, in my view, if you want to arrest somebody for that kind of thing, which actually isn't a very good idea. And I was told to leave the room, didn't leave the room, and sat down instead. It's all on YouTube.
Which I saw it. I watched it.
You saw it, Elizabeth. In fact, maybe what I'm going to do is play the YouTube
audio from it, yeah.
Audio first, which is kind of straightforward. And I'll, then it's gone through a lot of, been to many courts.
They've edited it.
It's been to courts up and down. I haven't edited it, no, but it's actually, you know, it was done, it was taken by activist Becky Johnson, thank goodness. And it's,
yeah.
Essentially, it's pretty, it shows that there's no disruption. The mayor doesn't even notice that this is the vindictive action of one council member who wants to punish an action of dissent, which is characterizing the city council as acting in a fascist manner.
You might want to go directly to YouTube.com, because that's the easiest way to find it. Because you'll find articles on Google, but you won't get the footage unless you...
True, but though there's a video on Google, and I think...
Oh, there is, okay.
But there may not be... I think you're right there. Maybe let's try one more time here to see. Here it is.
Okay.
All right, this is... Nazi salute, March 12, 2002, uploaded by Becky Johnson. Thank you, Becky. And I think I'm going to play this. I hope it plays directly. Let's see if it works. I'm going to it right now. It's downloading.
I'm going to have to ask you to leave. Thank you very much. Thank you.
I will. See you on the street, pal. You too, please.
Matt, would you please step away from the microphone?
I'm sorry, don't you think that's a little weird?
Can you please step away from the microphone?
Wait, and what happened right before she said...
We're pausing the tape here.
Okay.
Go ahead.
But she said, isn't that weird? Like, the guy said something and left the room.
See, what's happening here is that you haven't... As I understand it, because my memory is a little unclear on this, I have to be refreshed, but another person who saw it reminded me about what happened. The video journalist who took this video, Becky Johnson, who's also a homeless activist, she said that what had happened here was there was a long line of speakers at oral communications, which is this period of time when everybody gets to come up and spend 2 or 3 minutes talking about a subject not on the city council agenda. And pretty much the line had been stacked with people who wanted to talk about the Doug Rand Peace Memorial, which was a peace structure that was being put up in honor of a dead activist who had a lot of respect in the community from a number of people. And he did a lot of good things, too, although he and I weren't on the best of terms. Another story entirely. But in any case, I was one of the last three speakers. And I and this individual who just left the room, in fact, I'll play it again in a moment,
You were the last of the three.
We were the last of the three, and I was the first of the last of the three. I came up, to speak.
Oh,
and there was time for another speaker, but the mayor said, "You've spoken last time, Mr. Norris. You can't speak now. We have to wait until somebody else gets to speak who hasn't spoken." Now, I've talked to the First Amendment Coalition about the State Brown Act, which is the act that regulates public meetings and allows people to speak. And this whole procedure of claiming you can't talk if you talked at the previous meeting, though it's been followed for years at the Santa Cruz City Council, is essentially unconstitutional under the state constitution and under the Brown Act. It's a first-come, first-served deal. Because what it does is it penalizes people who are regular speakers at city council. So it may penalize activists who are trying to raise issues. And it allows the city to kind of put them in the back. But I didn't protest this. I stepped back. This is not on the tape. Okay. And the next speaker was a guy called Michael Tomasi, who's the fellow who was evicted from the room.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll hear him being evicted. And he was told he couldn't speak either because he had spoken last time.
Oh, I see.
Now, we were the last three speakers in line. So I guess the inference was the last woman, whose name was Susan Zeman, should be allowed to speak. Well, what you're going to hear is Tomasi was upset about this, and he was told to step away from the microphone, and he did, growling, "I'll see you on the streets," and so
yeah,
forth.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he walked outside, and saying, "That goes for you too, Butchie," referring to the sergeant who was also the sergeant at arms.
Uh-huh.
And then Susan Zeman came up to speak.
Oh.
And she kind of looked at this, and she said, "You know," and I think she was coming to the fact that there were two speakers beforehand. People are being told not to speak, and they're being told to leave, and they're being threatened with arrest. Isn't that kind of strange? And he then threatens her with arrest. He says,
"For saying that?"
He says, "Leave the microphone. Your time is up. You can't speak." The point being is that Crone himself, the mayor, took up all this time in stopping speakers from speaking under an unconstitutional practice of not allowing people to speak until everybody else had spoken, who had spoken at the last meeting. In other words, he took up all the time himself. He had also said before, and it was a tradition at the city council, mm-hmm. that if the mayor or the city council members interrupt speakers or talk about the subject that they're talking about, answer questions, make comments, that is subtracted from the total time that is added to the total time so that there still remains a half hour of oral communications. The only time when members of the public at that particular time in 2002 were able to speak on subjects not on the agenda. So she was wondering what was going on, and I realized that, you know, Crone was going to shut down the meeting under threat of arrest. He was using his powers this way, which is kind of strange because he was the most liberal member of the city council that
time. Yeah, I've heard both sides. I don't know much. You know, how long has he been the mayor?
He's not the mayor anymore.
Oh, he's not.
At this time, I mean, the mayor rotates every year. There's a new mayor every year. It's a weak mayor system. It's the city council is elected. The mayor is appointed by the city council members themselves from among themselves. Anyway, so what happened here is you're now going to hear the tape of the Michael Tomasi is being told he too can't speak, or actually the tape begins after that, but he's upset. He leaves, makes, you know, a growl as he leaves. Susan Zeman comes up and says, "What's all this about?" And then I make the Nazi salute. And then you'll hear the interchange between myself and the members of the city council who are trying to tell me to leave,
mm-hmm.
which I feel is, of course, inappropriate since you have a right to be at these kinds of meetings.
Of course, of course.
So here we go. Let's hear if we got it here.
Thank you very much. Can you please leave? Thank you.
I will. See you on the street, pal. You too, McGee.
Ma'am, would you please step away from the microphone?
I'm sorry, don't you think that's a little weird?
Can you please step away from the microphone?
I'm
going to have to ask you to leave if you don't step away from the microphone.
Can
you please have a seat?
Heard what she said. You have one more speaker left, was what she said, and he of course ignores that and instead uses the threat of arrest to force her away from the microphone. So as she does, I raise my arm in a brief "don't knock a bunch of fascists" and then turned with a smile to talk to her. And you can see this on YouTube.
Very much. Email will be accepted during the council meeting. The address is viewpoint@ci.santa.cruz. .ca.us. This address is to communicate with council during meetings only.
Mayor, point of order.
What you hear now is you heard the mayor going on. He didn't even notice it. Didn't bother him. But Mayor Tim Fitzmaurice, council member and former mayor, who is sitting to his right, interrupts with the demand that I be told to leave the chambers.
I explained to her there probably would be people down here.
But I got to make sure I put on the right tape here.
Mr. Fitzmaurice, Mr. Norris made a Nazi salute, and I think you ought to be removed from the chamber as a result. It's out of order. It's against the dignity of this body, the form of this body. I believe that Mr. Norris ought to be removed from the chamber for making a Nazi salute. Thank you. Mr. Norris, please leave the chamber.
Under the Brown Act, I have the right to participate here, and I can't be meeting.
You're out of order, sir. Please leave the chamber.
I'd be sort of scared.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, you get...
But I guess after a while...
You kind of have to nerve yourself up to this kind of stuff. But, yeah, I mean, it was not... I mean, we had seen him stating that people could speak. We waited in line for half an hour to speak. I was the last speaker, and that's what Susan Zeman was saying. There's one more speaker. What's going on? And he uses the strong-arm technique to threaten the audience with arrest or exclusion if they don't sit down and shut up and behave like good little automatons.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my response is simply to say the Brown Act does not allow this, and I say no disrespect, and I sit down. Although, you know, what's happening, the city attorney... Well, after that, they simply recessed the meeting. There's no disruption of any kind. They disrupt their own meeting, and then they have me arrested. I'm held in jail for 5 hours. They charge me with disrupting a public meeting, but it never goes to the DA because the DA doesn't want to charge it. All charges are dropped. 2 weeks later, I come back with a bunch of other people. We all raise our arms in Nazi salutes, indicating you're acting like a bunch of fascists at the city council here.
And nobody gets arrested?
And nobody gets arrested. They ignore it. Now, how do they justify this? Well, they cook up this new idea, this claim that they have a policy of allowing Nazi salutes only if you're speaking at oral communications at the microphone. So if you do
whatever.
It from the side of the room, it's illegal. But it's okay to hold up a sign that says Nazi salute at the side of the room. You just can't make it. It becomes very
tortured.
So
they just made that. They just made that up.
The city attorneys, you know, were looking for some way to defend
whatever.
The... And it worked. For 8 years, courts believed this excuse. For 8 years, courts said, well, you know, there must have been a bigger disruption here. I mean, even though we have the video in front of our eyes, what we're seeing is it must be, you know, this guy threatens someone and he walks out of the room. And the most recent claim that Mike Rotkin, the mayor, has made is saying that I'm part of a conspiracy with the intention to disrupt the city council. And this is what's really going on here. That
conspiracy?
That I'm part of these three people who are all planning a kind of
to
disrupt the meeting or part of a concerted action.
So you're not activists. You're not trying to work for homeless people's rights. You're just trying to disturb. That's what they're saying.
Right, that I'm
saying.
Disrupting the city council.
Okay.
Or maybe I'm doing this, but I'm doing it in a manner that is disruptive of the city council. But in fact, it's the council itself that is stopping, making a point of this in order to disrupt the... silent dissent, in this case, of people who are not being given any time.
Right.
I mean, we have a situation outside. There are over 1,000 homeless people who have no legal place to sleep at night. They're getting $97 citations, some of them. They're being threatened and harassed. Their privacy is being violated. Their property is being taken, held in the police station over the weekend, and then until the next middle of the next week. Some of it disappears. All these things are happening, and these are issues perhaps that really deserve a disruption of the city council, but they don't get a disruption because, frankly, perhaps I'm too chicken shit or I don't feel I have enough support or maybe there aren't. Maybe that's not the approach I use. I simply try to use the time that is or should be available under the law, isn't a very good law, you know, to take some action.
It's a tough job to be doing what you're doing because, truthfully, everybody, especially in Santa Cruz, I mean, it's a pretty wealthy place. There's not as much compassion. Well, there's some, but there's not as much compassion for the homeless. And, you know, people don't want to hear it. I think a lot of the time it's just they think...
Well, it's not a matter of compassion. It's a matter of justice. You cannot criminalize people who are sleeping outside unless you want to give them an option. You don't arrest people for taking a dump unless there's a bathroom somewhere that they can use because people will do that. That is part of their natural nature. They have no other choices. It is involuntary behavior at some point. Unless it's capricious or whimsical or intended as some kind of a statement or, you know. And so the city is known, and many cities, and I'm not saying Santa Cruz is unique. It's not. It is, of course, rather unique in its hypocrisy because they like to tout themselves as being the most liberal. So, for instance, last week, the city attorney was spending another $10,000 to $20,000 going after, this is another city attorney, they have a bunch of them at the city, going after two homeless musicians, Anna Richardson and Miguel de Leon, trying to get a permanent injunction against them for sleeping in the downtown area. They got an injunction a year ago that banned them from the downtown area at night for sleeping if they slept there. So they moved outside that area. They didn't leave during... They are in that area, but they won't sleep there. They're following the injunction. They go outside the area to sleep. But, of course, it's illegal everywhere in the city, so they're still illegal. Because the Santa Cruz City sleeping ban says, thou shalt not sleep after 11 o'clock at night, nor cover up with blankets outside on any public property or in any vehicle, even if it's legally parked on any public property.
When did it change? Because I'm assuming it,
it didn't change, it developed that way. Well, 1978 is when it was first put into force.
Okay.
It actually got put into force. There was an earlier ban that got put into force in 76, and it was combined with another ordinance in 1978. Okay. And it's been in force with some modifications because of pressure from activists ever since. So, what I wanted to... We were playing a little bit of this, the Nazi salute, and there isn't much of it. I'm going to play it one more time so people can hear it. It's only about a minute long. I won't interrupt it this time, and you can hear the whole thing. And then I'm going to play the court's discussion, some of the court's discussion of this issue. And for the first time, this court actually began to get to some of the real issues. Some of them they didn't get to, like, why is Councilmember Fitzmaurice disrupting his own meeting? And the answer is being, of course, to penalize me. He wants to use his power and his prestige to penalize me, even though I'm not disrupting anything at all. I'm just doing something he doesn't like at the meeting that he feels is indecorous.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't get to that issue, but we did get to the issue of why is a Nazi salute a disruption rather than simply an expression of political dissent?
Wait, can I ask you, do you ever see Crone or Fitzsimmons? I mean, the Santa Cruz isn't
Fitzmaurice.
That big. Fitzmaurice. Do you ever see...
I saw Crone 3 days ago. In fact, I sat down and chatted with him.
Mm, that's good.
However, I kept telling him, why don't you apologize for what you've done?
Why don't
you tell the community this was a mistake? And not just for me. I mean, who cares about me? This penalizes everybody in town. You know, this is something that the city manager and the city attorney and the current city council, which Crone is no longer on, is using... at the same time as we have a budget crisis. They're cutting back all kinds of other social services.
So you asked him point blank?
Yeah, and his answer is to smile and walk and leave.
Oh,
he has no answer because there is no answer except that I don't want to risk my political ass on this, and I don't want to risk disfavor.
I don't know what risk there is. I think it's just rude if you don't apologize for something like that.
He'd become liable. I mean, see, what's going to happen here if these counts, if we get a trial, that's what we've been trying to do for the last 8 years. We've been trying to get a trial to sue the city for these kinds of violations of civil rights. And it's twice been thrown out before we had a trial. And twice it's worked its way up to the ladder, and I suspect it's going to come back down again to a trial. If we are successful at this trial, he, Fitzmaurice, the city, the police officer who did the arrest, will all be found liable. And more, the biggest award will go to the city attorneys. I mean, to the attorneys. City attorneys are getting paid anyway, huge amounts of money for doing this, and they're not going to lose any money. But the attorneys who represent me will get over $100,000 from all the time they put in for 8 years on this case. So that's the economic cost. If he wants to apologize and say he made a mistake, it would be an act of some courage on his part and some integrity. And unfortunately, my experience with Christopher Crone is he does not have that courage and integrity. He instead has chosen a sort of a political path.
Well, and most people don't have much courage, so okay, yeah.
Well, people have courage in different parts of their lives. You know, I mean... Sometimes, some
I don't
places,
know, politicians, I don't find them very courageous, but then maybe that's just me,
they aren't.
I don't
Most
find
politicians
them courageous
aren't,
at all.
Aren't very courageous. So, anyway, let's hear this one more time, and then we will actually play some of the court discussion.
Thank you. I'm going to have to ask you to leave. Thank you very much. Can you please leave? Thank you.
I will. See you on the street, pal. YouTube, McGee.
Ma'am, would you please step away from the microphone?
Okay, don't you think that's a little weird?
Can you please step away from the microphone?
Can you have one more speaker left?
I'm going to have to ask you to leave if you don't step away from the microphone. Can you please have a seat? Thank you very much. Email will be accepted during the council meeting. The address is viewpoint@ci.santa.cruz.ca.us. This address is to communicate with council during meetings only.
Mr. Mayor, point of order.
Mr. Fitzmaurice,
Mr. Norris made a Nazi salute, and I think you ought to be removed from the chamber as a result. It's out of order. It's against the dignity of this body, the form of this body. I believe that Mr. Norris ought to be removed from the chamber for making a Nazi salute.
Thank you. Mr. Norris, please leave the chamber.
Under the Brown Act, I have the right to participate here. I attempt to be.
You're out of order, sir. Can you please leave the chamber? We will stand 5 minute recess.
And the actual video can be found on YouTube, and then you can hear me talking with the police sergeant about, you know, he's asking me to leave, and I'm saying, no, I feel I have a right to be here, and so forth and so on, and I get arrested. And there's no violence. It's all, you know, it's a peaceful arrest. There's no resisting arrest. I'm held in jail and released. A couple of things that are noticeable in this video that I would mention to you, and you can hear it a little bit on the soundtrack, though those of you listening on the radio can't hear it as well. The audience laughs when Michael Tomasi, the speaker, is saying, I'll see you on the street, Butchie, as he walks out. Butchie is the name of the Sergeant at Arms, Lauren Baker, Sergeant Butchie Baker. And when he, you know, so in other words, he's regarded as kind of a comic figure. There's no serious disruption happening here. It's a sort of something that happens with this guy occasionally because he's kind of a curmudgeon and he's outspoken. He's actually a homeless vet who has had a lot of problems on the street and talks about them in very candid ways, but he also calls himself the king of marijuana, and he salutes the city council because he loves them all and that sort of thing.
Clearly, no one was afraid, and clearly there was no real disruption. There was laughter, so I didn't see...
One, there was laughter, and then Secondly, you'll notice there's a sort of almost a monotonous continuation of the meeting by the mayor. You know, he's reading about the agenda. You can find us at the so-and-so website. And this is a silence. And then Fitzmaurice speaks up. Oh, no, wait, let's stop everything here. And let's, you know, Mr. Norris here has made this salute. Let's get rid of him. Let's get him out. You know, it offends the dignity of his body. Now, my response, and some say I was unwise in doing this, was to stand up and go to the microphone and say, I have a right to be here. I wanted to essentially, I don't know if I was going to appealing to the city council because I can't hear the words I was using, and this was 8 years ago. But I sort of said, I have a right to be here. And this is now being used by the city attorney saying, well, it wasn't really the Nazi salute that was your disruption. It was the fact that you went up there to the microphone when it wasn't during oral communications and argued with the city council. Mm-hmm. See, that's the disruption. So they're looking for any kind of hook to justify a successful lawsuit. We originally asked them simply for a change in the decorum rules and an apology. That's what we wanted. We wanted to say, the decorum rules allow the mayor this huge amount of privilege in saying, if you're behaving in an indecorous manner, then we can order you to leave. Well, that doesn't give you very much indication of what the real standards are, and it also gives him very, very wide leeway. We wanted those rules changed. They refused to discuss it. Instead, they would rather spend 8 years and $130,000 of the city's money on this lawsuit. My concern is not so much getting money out of them, but in making them stop the kinds of behaviors they were doing. This is only the latest in a whole series of repressive actions, such as moving items from 3:30 on the agenda to the end of the agenda at 11 o'clock at night when they see who's going to be speaking on them, so that people will not be able or will find it very difficult to come back.
Right.
And they got a whole series of tricks that they've used over the years, which is really the issue, and That's what we're talking about.
And we haven't talked about it yet, but I'm sure you'll talk about on July 4th the safe space for anyone to sleep. It's on the steps of, I want to say, City Hall, but I could be wrong.
No, it's the court. It's the court area.
The court area.
We actually had a meeting. Attorney Ed Fry, who is defending Robert Facer, who's an activist who plays drums at City City Drum Circle. It's actually a drum circle.
Yeah.
He was found guilty of sleeping on the beach. even though there was no legal place for him to go sleep a year ago in the summer. And he's appealing that case, but the city has put off the appeal for 3 months. And Attorney Ed Frye's position is, well, people can't avoid sleeping for 3 months, so it's time for some protesting. And so he has announced that he is going to be part of a peace camp starting on July 4th at the courthouse, because he believes the courthouse is really the center of the action. I don't know if I entirely agree with him. I think the court is certainly complicit in enforcing the sleeping ban. But the latest crap is coming from city council, city hall, city attorney's office, and the city manager. Mm-hmm. So I think nonetheless, it could be
it's a good start.
It could be a good start, and it's certainly worth supporting.
I'm gonna go there, yeah.
And that's going to start on July 4th, and I'll be talking about it more in the next few editions of this show, which happens every Thursday evening and Sunday morning for those who want to follow.
But that's something to look forward to.
Look forward to if you want to be arrested or watch people get arrested or sleep out with them in solidarity or come play guitar.
You're planning
to come, Elizabeth.
Yeah,
that's
absolutely,
great.
Absolutely. Yeah.
By the way, if you want to call in and talk to Elizabeth or me, you can. If you have any thoughts on this stuff we've been talking about, 427-3772. It's a little hard to talk about here because it's we're talking actually about a visual thing. But here's some conversation that's a little more. To the point, a lot of the court hearings I've been to have been very dry and very technical and really have adopted the kind of the mythology of the city that, oh, here was this disruption and the council had to deal with the disruption and it was a horrific Nazi gesture and it offended people in the audience and Jewish Holocaust survivors were crying and having heart attacks and the mayor himself. And of course, all this is completely false. It's not what actually happened at all. And in fact, the opposite was going on. The city council was repressing activists, and when they got called on it, they had to quickly cook up a story. And they have. Mm-hmm. But you get to see the court beginning to kind of pierce through this in the discussion that follows. And I'm not going to be able to play all of it. I don't think I want to play all of it. But I'll play some of it, and you'll be able to go to it on Google. And again, you just go to Norse Nazi Salute Audio. And you'll probably find it there, Ninth Circuit.
And also Norse Nazi Salute. Go to YouTube and you'll find it as well.
Well, that's for the Nazi Salute. We're not looking. If you're looking for the audio of the court discussion, you probably want to just do that on Google. But yeah, check it out. And let's see if we can actually play some of that now.
On to the merits. Okay, thank you. In White and Kind. This court.
Let me ask you this. Listen to this, Mr. Kovacevic.
And the speakers here are. This is the chief judge of the 11-member court. His name is Kaczynski. And he is talking to one of my attorneys, David Beauvais, who's making the case. We have a call here, so we'll interrupt briefly to catch this caller, which is one of the things I do on the show. Hi, you're on Free Radio.
Hey, Robert, how's it going, man?
Good, Crow. I'm trying to play a tape here, so what you got?
No, go ahead and play the tape. Go ahead and play the tape. I'll talk to you off air when you play the tape.
Sounds good. And here's the tape.
We're sort of in response to a particularly a question that he thought was particularly unfair, or he didn't have a good answer for. We're here to give us a Sieg Heil salute. Is there anything I could do about that?
Probably.
Why is that?
Well, we're in a courtroom, and courtroom in implicates public policy questions that are quite different from a city council meeting. A city council meeting is the rough and tumble of politics. A courtroom is about justice, fairness. It's about delivering on our promise of due process.
Well, how about Mr. Norris, who's in the audience now? So let's say that the lawyers are officers of the courts. So I will so exclude the lawyers from this. Let's say Mr. Norris or one other audience member, he doesn't like the way things are going here or appear to be going, and in a huff stands up, gives a Sieg Heil salute. And
I would hope that, you know,
what I don't understand. It's not a question of advice of what we would do, but I'm just wondering, is there any authority to do anything about that?
Well, I think disrespecting a court is pretty much enshrined in our contempt of jurisprudence. That would seem to me to be a very offensive.
This is the city council versus court line, the executive versus the judiciary?
Yes, I think the judiciary is.
A case that was where somebody said it was all right to give the finger to a police officer. Now, we might be somewhere on one end of the police officer, another end of the court, and the middle of the city council.
Who could have said that?
I don't know.
Well, you're making a joke because they were the court that said that you can give the finger to a police officer.
But yeah, Duran is one of the cases that I wanted to talk to you about today, because Duran was a case where the court specifically said that, you know, basically creating some, acting in an indignified manner towards someone is not, is protected by the First Amendment. And the decision not only spoke about the police officers, but talked about public officials in general, people who are sworn in a public role. So Duran is quite apt for that proposition.
In this case, at least on the YouTube tape, it went quite beyond the salute. Because the first thing that happened was some guy was asked to leave, did threaten the mayor on his way out. The lady was at the lectern, didn't stop talking after time had expired, and there was banter back and forth. Finally, she stepped aside. On the way out was when she passed Mr. Norris and had a little conversation, and he did his salute. And a bit after that, Fitzmaurice then says, point of order. The mayor is meanwhile looking down, reading. Fitzmaurice says, point of order. Mayor looks up. At that point, Norris has come to the lectern and is talking over Fitzmaurice. And
now, I'm going to comment on this because it's interesting what's missing from this judge's account. She's only seeing, of course, the tape. So she doesn't know the background as to why the speakers are upset that they aren't being allowed to speak. But she also isn't noticing things like the fact that, and you'll hear her say this in a moment, that the man complaining, Fitzmaurice, is requesting I be thrown out of the room, at which point I move to the mic to respond, not to speak over him. I mean, we are speaking at the same time at a certain point, but it essentially is a response to the action by Fitzmaurice. The claim that Fitzmaurice is dealing with a disruption in the room is of course the line that the city attorney is taking here in this case, because that's what they need to win the case. But what's stopping the meeting is Fitzmaurice's claim that he doesn't like a Nazi salute, and that's the disruption, not any other of the events that have happened. And as a consequence of that, I'm saying, no, I have a right to stay, but that is suddenly being put under the umbrella of a larger disruption. And this can be done if you suddenly say, well, any violation of city council rules is a disruption. And that's what the city attorney is now saying. He's saying that any violation of the rules constitutes a disruption unless you immediately start doing what the city mayor tells you to do. That's disruptive. But in fact, disruption has another meaning. Disruption means stopping the business of the meeting. If the city mayor or the city council themselves stop the business in order to punish someone saying you're violating a rule, they are stopping their own meeting. They can't claim it's a disruption. They may say it's a violation of a rule. They may say, can you please stop it because we want to continue. If it's actually materially impeding the meeting in some way, that can be a basis for saying the meeting is being disrupted. But, you know, the person that has their hat on or something, or if they're doing something that's a violation of a rule, certainly the council can ask, you know, them to stop doing it. But then to insist that they are disrupting the meeting if they... Well, I, in fact, did stop doing it. I didn't make another Nazi salute. I'd made my point. But they insisted I leave. Anyway, let's hear more of this discussion.
why isn't that the operative event rather than the salute, which the mayor did not see, undisputedly? And so why wasn't coming to the lectern, talking over Fitzmaurice, and refusing to step away from the lectern the disruptive conduct?
Officer, stop beating me with that baton, please. That's what he's saying. He's appealing to the council.
Well, no,
not to be excluded.
Something he had no, it was out of the time for oral communications. He didn't have a chit, or whatever one calls it in Santa Cruz, to speak at that point. So why wasn't he so out of order that when the mayor saw that conduct, the mayor could conclude that is disruptive?
Yeah, I just want to comment on that. I get a chance to talk back to these judges, and it's always fun to do that. It wasn't, and it has never been the basis to order someone out of the room who's having a dispute with a council member, unless it continues in a way. I was being ordered out of the room because I made a Nazi salute, and because one council member had determined when he was mayor the previous year that he did not allow Nazi salutes in the city council, as though he had the right to ban them in that sense, which he doesn't. He didn't, in my view, he doesn't have, and hopefully that will be the court's view as well. And in fact, since then, I've made a Nazi salute since then as well. So they cooked up this rule that you needed to do a Nazi salute only at oral communication. You couldn't do it at any other time. And you had to do it from the podium. This was their new legal argument in court in order to defend themselves. They also claimed that you couldn't engage in dissenting gestures from the side of the room or from the audience, because that was a disruption. So the court will later, you'll hear them asking, well, so is doing a thumbs up gesture then going to be allowed? And the city attorney was kind of caught, and he was saying, oh, well, no, we don't allow that either. And of course, that's ridiculous, because city council does allow that. And it becomes increasingly twisted and tangled as the city attorney tries to work his way out of the hole that he's dug himself into. The whole issue, though, is initially framed in terms of there's this sinister disruption that needs to be addressed. And that's still the way it's being framed by Mayor Rotkin, as he's discussed it in the papers in the last day or two.
Well, we don't have any information about the mayor's reasoning process.
Well, I know. That's why I rest my case on the process. But I wanted to get your reaction to that.
Well,
arguably reasonable inference.
Okay. The Nazi salute itself, we argue, was protected speech.
Let's assume that's absolutely correct.
Now, Fitzmaurice is saying he wants Mr. Norris ejected from the meeting after engaging in protected speech.
Mm-hmm.
And
the last thing that happened was his being at the lectern and talking over a council member and refusing to step back.
It's true. I mean, that was the next step after Fitzmaurice
raised
his motion.
And it was the step that immediately preceded the...
And they're both wrong, as you can hear from the tape. Fitzmaurice makes the demand that I leave before he gets talked over at all. So I'm responding to his, you have to leave the city council chamber. I'm trying to essentially appeal to the mayor not to do that. And so I may be talking over him because he's simply repeating himself again. But the claim that I've just decided to start talking over him and that's a good excuse to remove me because it's disruptive is not the case. And both my attorney and the judges missed it.
Mayor's saying, get out of here. And it was the only thing he saw.
Right. Well, as you indicated, we can't speculate about the mayor's motives. But what we can say is that at that point, proceedings had turned extremely unfair. And it wouldn't be surprising. If someone out of the blue told me to leave a meeting, I might do the same thing. I think it's a normal human reaction. And I think it was so compressed in time and so short. And
he wasn't told to leave before he came up to the lectern and talked over Fitzmaurice.
True, but he knew it was coming.
Well, did he, I forget to say, he could hear what Fitzmaurice was saying to the mayor. He was asking Mr. Morris if he was correct.
Right.
Because it was can we step back and just, I don't think, I know these aren't the facts, but you said that the Nazi salute is protected speech, but also what we're dealing with is disruption of a public, limited public forum, if you will, where we ultimately characterize it. If it was clear that a Nazi salute in that audience would have provoked disruption because of its highly inflammatory nature in that audience, I'm assuming facts here. You have to accept them, but just to be, would that then factor into whether or not the salute alone could be considered disruptive? You've been willing to say a Nazi salute in the courtroom because of its context would be treated differently. A provocative Nazi salute, not out on the streets of Skokie, but in the context we're talking about, would that be a factor?
I think ultimately no. And the reason for that is it brings into play the doctrine of heckler's veto.
True, that also then runs up against fighting words. And
we have attorneys talking here, some of them kind of hard to hear. I recommend people who want to hear this do check it out online. It's available. Since I have a singer in the studio whose guitar is still serviceable, although it occasionally crashes to the floor, perhaps we have another song available for, what do you think there, Elizabeth? Yeah, I think for those who want to hear more about this case, the whole case is going to be, I'm going to actually write about it some more, and we won't know for about anywhere from a few weeks to a year or more what the decision of this panel is, but based on the comments they're making, and I'll probably play a little more of it on Sunday in my show. Try to find the section where the city attorney, who is the attorney who follows this attorney that you're hearing now, my attorney, one of my attorneys, really gets the shaft from the judges. I mean, he tries to defend the proposition that all gestures from the audience are illegal, that they are all disruptions, and they can all be stopped. And he's forced into that position because of the kinds of papers he's already argued, and it only makes sense if you don't examine the case closely, because if you don't examine the real way the Santa Cruz City Council operates, which is in no such manner. I mean, there's all kinds of signs in the audience, there's all kinds of motions from the audience, and the City Council has no posted rules at all about there not being the right to do signs or things. And while you're looking, Elizabeth, I'm going to play a little more from the street, so we'll actually get some homeless voices in here instead of attorneys' voices and even street performers' voices. By the way, the street performers do have a meeting coming up on Monday. That's going to be at 5 o'clock at Loudoun Nelson Center. Street Performers Guild is meeting there in case you're concerned about the police use of the unreasonably disturbing noise ordinance. We call it the UDN ordinance. UDNO, UDNO, perhaps, is one way to put it. That's a law that's being used as what is being described here as a heckler's veto. That is to say, if somebody doesn't like your guitar playing on the street, they tell the cop, I don't like it, and the cop says, okay, we'll tell them to move, or you can write him a ticket. Actually, there's no law that says you can't play guitar on the streets, and there's no law that indicates playing guitar is unreasonably disturbing noise, but just the threat is enough to move people along. Now, are you going to play some reasonably disturbing noise for us, perhaps?
Oh, yeah. Lots of explicit lyrics.
All right, let's hit it.
Coming right at you.
This better arouse
all
me.
Right, yeah. All right. This is deals with, anyway, it's called Unacceptable. It was written 6 years ago. This is out of tune, but I'm going to keep going. Cried aloud, I'm gonna fuck your brains out, you said to me. I'll get that pussy and you act out accordingly with all that you said. You fucked my brains out and then you left me for dead. And I refuse to go back, covered in shame, back where you cornered me and threw me the blame, telling me you would educate me so I learned to be polite and medicate me so I'd quote-unquote think right. Well, you can have your education and you can take all your medication, because I don't want to think the way you do or act the way you do. In fact, I don't want to be anything at all like you. And you can tell all your friends that I'm a crazy bitch, because you're right, I am. And I'm an exhibitionist with my heart on display in some deli's cold case, and my vulnerabilities written all over my face. I was unacceptable in their world, just a crazy, angry young girl. I was unacceptable in their life. I was just a nobody, and worse, nobody's wife. Admitted to the hospital, unacceptable. I was sick, I was manic, walking the streets thinking I was Jesus Christ, looking for a cross to be sacrificed. But I didn't wait for anyone to nail me to a tree. I nailed myself down for everyone to see. And I was unacceptable in their world, unacceptable, just a crazy, angry girl. Unacceptable in their lives, just a single girl in a room full of husbands and wives. Yeah, and I gave you what I had. I gave you my body, and you gave to me. I opened my legs, you opened your wallet. Love, is that what they call it? I was unacceptable in their world, just a crazy young girl. Unacceptable in their life, just a nobody, and worse, nobody's wife. Unacceptable, unacceptable.
I hate to tell you this, but that's quite acceptable as a song.
Oh, good.
So I'm afraid you just missed the whole boat here. That was our in-studio star, Elizabeth
Hand,
who was, I'll give her a hand for that one, for sure. That's one I liked a lot. I was, you know, previous songs, I was running around.
No, that one gets straight down to it.
I started thinking, hey, she actually can sing. All right,
okay.
Now we're talking, man. And I just got a call from Drum Circle Dave that he really liked the song,
aww,
too. Liked your singing,
yay,
thought you were good. Although he doesn't think much of the Udno law.
I don't like that either.
I think most of us don't. That's actually something I'm going to be talking about on Sunday, along with the new if you get three infractions now, every subsequent infraction, if you haven't attended to those three infractions, is going to be a misdemeanor, punishable by up to a year in jail and a $1,000 fine.
Poo on that.
Well put. And we're going to be talking about it, plus the slimy treatment, you know, the kiss-ass treatment that it gets in the Sentinel, which is really sad. I mean, there's just one misstatement after another in that article, and I noted them, and I was going to read about them today, but what I want to do is I want to review the video of the city council meeting, or the shitty council meeting,
yes,
as I like to call it.
It's
a pretty shitty city council meeting, and see what actually was and wasn't said. It was unanimously passed, so it certainly doesn't sound good. I want you to cook up another song before we leave.
Sure.
It. Let's play a few more street spirit. I mean, let's street interviews. Let's get some street spirit out of these street interviews. Let's see what we got
street
here.
People.
Let me give you a napkin to deal with the sandwich that apparently you're about to eat here. Have
Thank
some
you.
Napkins, my boy.
Thank you.
So apparently a police officer is... Officers Forbes and Winston have double-parked their car on the corner of Lincoln and Pacific. It's about 6:35. And Cal here is standing by and other individual is he's being observing. What's happening, Cal? Anything exciting here?
Pardon me?
What's happening, you know?
I don't know. They just came up and started talking to this guy. That's all I know.
Okay. And the officers are querying a guy here. A man without a t-shirt.
When I get any option, I might be able to get in the military. Probation or parole?
Parole.
I've been talking to my grandmother. She said best thing to get in the military. She said
parole check.
It's long term.
How do you spell that name?
R-E-T, I guess.
R-E-T.
R-E-T.
And Officer Winston has pointed to come over and stood between myself and Officer Forbes. So I'm moving around here so I can get a better listen to what's going on.
Hi. How about we don't, because I'm not in trouble. Thank you. You only bring attention that I don't need.
You aren't in trouble?
You're kind of disrespecting me.
You're okay?
I'm fine, sir.
Okay. Thank you. I'll just watch.
And I let myself get kind of moved away from the police incident. I don't usually do that, even when the person who's being victimized by the police is trying to do this, trying to say, look, I don't want any attention, I want to keep a low profile, I don't want to antagonize the police, because really it's a community issue. It's not just an issue between one individual and the police. It's an issue of the police are behaving in a certain way toward people on the streets, and that needs to be observed. And, you know, some people think, oh, I can work out a private deal with a police officer. I can just talk them out of it. And they'll be nice to me if I only use the right attitude. And sometimes, no doubt, that's true. But unfortunately, we should be existing in a society where we have laws, some real laws instead of the crap we have now, but just laws and not police officers giving you a break. That's not what really provides for any security. Now, I notice over here that Elizabeth Hand is about to hit us with another one of her infamous guitar songs. I should point out, however, that if you were singing in front of the Bookshop Santa Cruz, as I was on January 1st, you might be given a citation, as I was.
Oh, that's right.
For
I better be careful.
Subversive sidewalk singing.
That's true.
And you might be tried in court, as I will be, on July 20th in Department 10. So,
well, most of my songs are subversive.
let's hope that you keep your nose clean. And
okay.
We'll see. Maybe you'll be there at the Peace Camp on July 4th.
I will be.
Okay.
I shall be there for sure. And this song is called Buck Up. And
Buck Up, Don't Fuck Up.
Yeah. Basically, Buck Up. And it's kind of a funny song, but it has a very serious message. And I wrote it last summer to somebody that really pissed me off. So here we go. Buck Up. You write on your MySpace page that you're learning how to live from the dying. Oh, sister, please, you know you're not even trying to be anything other than a self-centered bitch. And that addiction to painkillers, well, it's making you twitch. Buck up, buck up. Young soldier life is rough. Buck up, buck up. Young lady, life, you know, life is tough. Buck up, buck up. Stop being such a royal fuck up. I'm sorry that your job is to kiss wealthy people's asses. It's gotta suck to have to be such a douchebag for money. But you're the one who chose to be on the side of power. And for that, there is no remedy, honey. And you might be right about me. Maybe I'm just a lunatic. But at least I'm not a phony piece of. Buck up, buck up. Young soldier life is rough. Buck up, buck up. Young lady, life is tough. Buck up, buck up. Stop being such a royal fuck up. And yeah, and
And you talk about everyone you know behind their back. You talk about your friends, your family, your coworkers. You trash them behind their back. And I'm just here to let you know, girl, it's not cool to do that. And you might be right about me. Maybe I'm just a lunatic. But at least I'm not a phony piece of... Buck up. Buck up. Young soldier, life is rough. Buck up. Buck up. Stop being... Stop. Buck up. Buck up. Stop being such a royal. Buck up. Buck up, stop being such a royal fuck up. Fuck up.
Okay. I'll keep that in mind when I feel down and low.
Stop being such a fuck up.
That's Elizabeth Hand here on Free Radio Santa Cruz 101.1 FM. She is a... Doesn't have a website, as I understand it.
I'm on Facebook, and I have lots of YouTube videos. If you look Elizabeth Hand up, you'll find about, I don't know, maybe 10 of my original songs. And, of course, they're much better on there.
Elizabeth Hand.
Elizabeth Hand, H-A-N-D. You can look it up. And there's other things. There's an Elizabeth Hand who's a sci-fi writer, so you'll find a little bit of her, but then the rest of it, a lot of it's me. So
it's a Elizabeth Hand musician.
Yes, musician.
And singer, I might add.
And singer.
When's your next
gig?
CD coming out?
Well, actually, that's what I'm working on now. I'd like to record. And this year, I do plan on having a CD come out. And I think the CD release party would probably be in Oregon, though. Most likely.
In Oregon.
Probably, because that's where more...
Oh, in Oregon, I got you.
In Oregon, yeah, yes. Bend, Oregon, yeah.
So you got to go up to Bend to get the CD. Well,
yeah.
Wait till you come down again and maybe we'll get it from you.
Yes, definitely.
Or maybe we'll invite you to the studio for the next 16 of your songs.
Yes, for sure.
You can come back on Sunday if you aren't completely bored out of your skull here.
We'll see. Love to, yeah.
You may face more Nazi salute chatter, however, I warn you. We have about 10 minutes before Uncle Dennis comes stalking into the studio with From the Cream to the Dregs. He does 3 hours of classical rock. I have a couple of announcements. Again, I remind you, if you want to, you can check out Loudon Nelson's Forum on Anarchism happening. Started at 6:30. It's still probably going on. And you can read about it on indiebay.org/Santa Cruz. You can go to the Americans for Safe Access meeting at 140 Du Bois Street in Harvey West. I may be checking that out over in that neck of the woods. And that's at Suite A near Greenway. There's, I guess, an event tomorrow of an obscure nature, which Crow talked to us about, some sort of fundraising for aquarium retailers. And they were being forced out of the Safeway Shopping Center, but they're going to be at the Blue Oyster Cult. Panhandling the musical lovers there. You can check that out on the boardwalk. And again, there's the Street Performers Guild meeting coming up on Monday, 5 o'clock at Loudon Nelson Center on the grass, on the park, actually, outside the center. I did ask Linda LeMaster to call in about the her testimony in last week's Richardson de Leon injunction case. For those of you who are new to this particular show, these are two homeless musicians who are, as I mentioned earlier to you, Elizabeth, are been faced with an injunction and a $20,000 trial by the... Actually, it's $50,000 to $100,000 trial. It's an expensive trial.
Wow.
They bring 23 prosecution witnesses, all to prove that at one time in the last 2 or 3 years they camped outside, which isn't really, you know, rocket science. They're homeless. Yes, they camp outside. But they're trying to cite this by repetitive testimony to make it a public nuisance. They can get enough cops to say, I saw her sleeping outside, and they had their property, and it looked kind of messy out there, that becomes a public nuisance. Of course, that means any homeless person who is visible in that sort of situation then becomes a public nuisance, which is an interesting way to characterize homeless people. I think The Himmler regime did it very well in the 30s in Germany.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to say the Hitler regime. We can't blame Hitler for Himmler's crimes. I guess we probably can, actually. In any case, we can blame the whole gang. We can blame the German people. And I tend to blame the Santa Cruz Police Department, Santa Cruz City Council, city attorney. And I don't want to blame the Santa Cruz community. The business community, yes, because the business community, particularly the Downtown Association, is involved in these repressive new laws and court actions. They are giving them the thumbs up sign, so to speak. Oh, if they try that at city council, according to our city attorney, that would be illegal. I don't think that they would be prosecuted, though, for some reason.
Somehow, I don't think they would be.
No,
if they're a business owner.
No, I don't think so.
But,
you have some thoughts here?
I have a lot of thoughts. I don't know if I'm put them into words very well. It's like a sickness. You know, I see it philosophically as a real sickness, because if we don't recognize the humanity in every other human, then it's just it's a societal sickness. And how sad for everybody who, because the homeless are, as far as I see it, the homeless are the musicians. The homeless people, or the quote-unquote homeless, they're the ones who are like the salt of the earth people, you know, the people who I get to know every day when I go out and I sing. And my life is so much fun and so interesting because of them. They're not the humdrum robot people. So how sad for this society that makes it illegal to be different, you know? I mean, just to have your own...
To be poor.
Yes, exactly. To be visibly poor.
Yeah, there are stories that I would have covered had I time. Would have been the San Jose City Council's considering a pot club ordinance, a limiting pot club ordinance, as all these cities are considering. There was going to be Jillian Greensight and one of her young interns, I think she's an intern or maybe just a friend, Nina, are going to be talking about... the end, UCSC's ending of its rape counseling program, and the Santa Cruz Police Department's continuing, apparently, failure to maintain a rape closure investigation rate anywhere near the state average, in spite of Santa Cruz's
claim.
How
interesting.
Yeah.
So they're shutting down the rape counseling program?
I believe so, yeah. That's
what
one of
is going
concerns.
On? What
well,
is going
are,
on?
Well, they are having and hiring more police officers, though, in Santa Cruz City.
No,
so
but
so
police,
be happy.
Okay. I just
be happy.
Say,
don't
yeah.
worry. Everything is okay.
No, it's terrible.
It's all as well. You know, you're too alarmed. You musicians, you get all excited.
Though these male police officers...
Trust in your city council and your police department.
The male police officers, I mean, they won't even... They don't even believe that a woman has been raped. I've had a... You know, anyway.
Oh, ho!
Yeah.
Secrets you don't wish to discuss on the air, perhaps.
Well,
don't
you
have
know...
To. You don't have to.
Well,
you can if you want. But.
You know, I think most women, 1 in 3 have been raped, and I...
You find that's true in your personal experience, or that's some stat?
I don't know. That is a statistic, so I don't really know.
I mean,
yeah,
among the friends you know, do they confide in you and say, and you look, they've been raped? I mean, do you most,
yeah, I do.
Many
I
of
do
your
have a lot
raped?
Of friends who've been forcibly. Most of it's by people they know. So
interesting.
For
yeah,
me,
that's
it was somebody
date rape.
That I knew, and and then I was, you know, I was going to press charges. Mostly because I feel like I don't want him to get off scot-free, but then again, I just want to move on with my life. I just want to be happy. I really don't want to be caught up in a court case for I don't know how
for
long.
For 8 years, like
no,
with a Nazi salute. Yeah, I know the feeling.
I don't want that.
You know, right?
So
well,
anyway.
Yeah, no. I mean,
yeah.
I think that's right. Now, here's an interesting article I'm going to read very quickly before our next... guy comes in. Unlock the door, by the way, so that he can make it through.
Okay.
if you're up for that. This is called When Cameras Are Outlawed, Only Outlaws Will Have Cameras. People may already know about this. I got an email today. If you witness police misconduct and record it as a video on your phone or camera, you won't be welcomed as a hero. In several U.S. states, you could be subject to a long prison sentence. In recent years, dozens of videos documenting police misconduct have been posted on YouTube. But prosecutors haven't generally punished the offending cops. Increasingly, they're arresting the individuals who posted the videos. The charge, illegal wiretapping. Yes, wiretapping. What the NSA does with impunity and without a warrant is illegal for us to do as we witness police abuse. at least, it's not in California yet, though, I want to say that, at least two states, Massachusetts and Illinois, make it illegal to record any on-duty police officer in any situation. Hmm. It doesn't matter if the officer is in the process of beating someone to death. It doesn't matter if the recording is in your own home and the police have just busted down your door in an illegal search. If you record the interaction, you can go to prison.
You know what's interesting about
let
that?
Let me finish the story.
Okay.
In 10 other states, all parties must consent in order for a private party to make a recording of a conversation or personal encounter. Since a police officer acting abusively isn't likely to give you permission to record the event, if you do so, you could be violating the wiretap statute and be subject to a long prison sentence. In Illinois, for example, a street artist recorded his own arrest for selling artwork without a peddler's license. He now faces up to 15 years in prison. Arresting police whistleblowers is a nationwide trend, and the courts approve. For instance, Massachusetts Supreme Court upheld the conviction of a man arrested for recording a police encounter. Defendant Michael Hyde used the recording to file a harassment complaint against police. Instead, he was convicted of illegal wiretapping. While he was sentenced to only 6 months of probation, he could have faced a much longer term. Cameras, in effect, are like guns. Point a gun at a police officer and you'll be arrested. Point a camera at a police officer and you'll be charged and likely convicted of illegal wiretapping. But not yet in California, I want to emphasize. The fact that the wiretapping laws are being used against private citizens is richly ironic because they were enacted to protect citizens against government oppression. These cases that... hard to read this. Turn this law on its head because those trying to protect themselves or others from official misconduct end up being prosecuted. Since we're living in a surveillance society where the government continuously monitors our finances, our communications, and our movements, shouldn't we have the right to turn the tables and, in effect, watch the watchers? Yes, but police and the courts disagree. I say, fuck that shit. Get out your cameras, folks. And
totally.
It's not illegal in California.
Totally.
You had something you wanted to say, which I...
Just an interesting little anecdote is that in Illinois, you know, the CPD are well known for being really vicious. And you can actually Google...
Chicago Police Department.
Yeah, you can Google, you can YouTube. There's... a video of, they took the video, I don't know who got a hold of this video, from the police basement of the Evanston Police Department just north of Chicago, and they are beating a black man senselessly. And they, I don't know how they got it on YouTube, but anyway, it's kind of just brought that to my head. But if you, I'm sure, you know, people do believe that the Chicago Police Department is brutal, but that is something on YouTube that you can bring up. And actually, it's Fuck the Police is playing in the background, so you can probably Google Fuck the Police, Chicago Police Department, or something like that.
But we did, of course, have the incident that happened about a month and a half ago of the band MDC, Millions of Dead Cops, playing at...
Oh, did they?
They were playing at the play at the bowling alley across from the boardwalk in Santa Cruz. And according to Scope It Out Scott Graham, a local who was attending their concert, a security guard complained that he didn't like their lyrics. And three or four or five police jurisdictions involving several dozen police officers came and shut down the concert.
Nice.
So that's quite something.
Yeah.
It looks like... we have an Uncle Dennis in the studio.
Hello.
You haven't made your Nazi salute, Uncle Dennis.
Yeah,
so
you have to make the salute.
That's very good. Is that the right arm? I'm not sure if that's the proper way to do it. Uncle Dennis has made a Nazi salute, so I'm contacting Councilmember Fitzmaurice and saying,
I'm only making it back to you.
I have not done anything. I have a witness. I did nothing.
Oh, yeah,
I,
that's true.
I'm innocent.
I'm his witness.
I was following orders.
He's an innocent man.
Do not hurt me.
He's never done anything wrong.
So,
never did anything wrong.
Well, never say never. Convicted of
disrupting the Santa Cruz
City. I was never even.
Terrible.
I was charged once, but never convicted.
Did you ever see, if you can YouTube this, there's idiotic woman at the Santa Cruz City Council?
Oh, yeah, I've seen that.
I had to laugh.
That was put up.
I feel bad for
I'm
her.
Also on that tape.
Are you really?
Yeah, because they selectively take a portion of me and attempt to satirize and ridicule a man of my standing. I don't know what to say about that.
No, but there's one just
off
with
your
her.
Knees, Robert.
And she is hilarious. It's hilarious.
I know. I remember I was actually at that city council meeting when she was there. I mean, you know, people struggle at the mic to say stuff.
And I know.
You know,
I feel
it's all
bad
very
for
well
her,
to sit around and snicker about it and find their backs. And, Anyway, I invite you to come back with or without guitar, preferably with.
Okay.
With your voice, with all your lyrics. You are giving my seal of approval.
Oh, good.
As a singer.
I have lots of angry songs, happy, funny, any emotion I can do.
Maybe Uncle Dennis will give you an hour's worth on his show. After all, he is into classic rock. Are you a classic rock?
Classic rock?
I do indie folk rock.
That's a different show.
So Uncle Dennis, as usual,
me and Bobby
the bureaucrat,
McGee.
He strikes
again. You can do me and Bobby
folk
McGee.
Song. That's a folk song.
It's very
That's
folk.
Indie folk. Indie folk rock.
Well,
no, not indie.
Let's listen to these two fight.
Anyway.
Anyway, I want to thank you for being with me on this edition of Bathrop Spears Broadsides. It's been fun, and I apologize for the lengthy wander around on the Nazi salute stuff, which is, you know, in the news, and it's costing the city an arm and a leg. It's stupid shit. So, we'll talk about it.
You're bankrupting the city of San
Francisco. I'm just trying to be a good citizen. That's all I'm trying to do. Any updates on the eviction of the transmitter, Dennis? Anything new? Any new glimmers of light?
We've got some leads. We're working on it, but we really need more people to volunteer.
Okay, well,
our transmitter.
If you want to hear the station on the air, it needs a transmitter, which means a place to be put up, so. I'll see you again on Sunday. Give me a call at 423-HUFF if you want to reach me between times. Thanks for listening.
There's a girl I love, Sandy Mary, just her name.
Summerlee Fleetwood Mac for you there. You're on Freak Radio. Uncle Dennis sitting in the squeaky chair in the hot underground studio of Free Radio Santa Cruz on a Thursday night here. Going to play some rock and roll for you from the 60s and the 70s. Name of the show, From the Cream to the Dregs. So we're going to get right on with more music. We'll be back a little later on with the Brew of the Week, 9 o'clock, of course. We'll have the Earth First Update, and then 10 o'clock, a Spotlight Group of the Week. And then at 11 o'clock, I'm out of here, and the Hour of Slack is on. So stay tuned for all of that and more right here on 101 FM Freak Radio Santa Cruz.
Hearted boy, well, yeah. People, I am a poor drunken hearted boy. I have a whole ocean of trouble. Just a little half a pint of joy. I drink because I'm worried. I don't drink because I'm dry. I know if I keep on drinking, I'm liable to drink away my life.